another episode of Practical Spiritual Advice by Infinite You, which is me, which is you, which is we. And so I want to get into a quick recap of last episode, ending with the Mayan, the end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012. And then soon after, let's see, it was 2015, to clarify that we started working with the gardens and the schools. And I believe I jumped ahead with the what the fruits of that labor brought about with Colonial Hills Elementary School becoming the seventh healthiest school in the nation, and using the house that we were in as a portal, and, you know, the discovery of that and some of the experiences that became of that. And so if you're new here, the way that Practical Spiritual Advice by Infinite You is set up is this is a storytelling practical spiritual advice. That my name is Harold Aho now. I am your host, and I am the owner and founder of Infinite You, Wellness and Synergy. And I'm a practical spiritual advisor and community activist here in San Antonio, Texas, but I'm able to cover the entire planet and omniverse, if you will, as my belief system has brought me to being a multidimensional being of light, zip filed into a human experience and a fractal of source itself, as we are all reflections of that. And so through my own experiences in this life journey, and the beginning of this podcast starts with episode number one being 11-11-11, Sedona trip and the spiritual awakening that I had at the age of 33 right before that. And as we have different experiences and life throws us lessons, we have an opportunity to visit our memories and with a new higher perspective, or hopefully a higher perspective, right? If you cannot hold a grudge onto these things, you can see them with clear eyes and have a learning experience within your own self, and you get to teach yourself. And so this is the practical spiritual advice of that. I'm not here to be your teacher. I'm here to tell my story, and you get to watch me teach myself as I tell the stories. It's kind of how I am able to help myself and help others around me, and this is an easy way I have seen for others to offer their stories as a way to heal themselves and others, because we are just reflections. That's my belief. I'm going to stick to it because it has brought us to a really big reason why I want to put a fast forward on today's episode and get us from 2015 roughly all the way up to 2020. And when the world shifted, obviously we may dive a little bit into what that brought about and, you know, everything between here. So let's get to it. Dun, dun, dun. And so we have the heart chakra bowl off to the side here, and occasionally I will ring her. And I want us to, as you're listening to me, wherever you are, I want you to remember to breathe. Pull it all the way in and hold it for just a little bit. You know, I like to say a four count. And then let it all out. I think that's the thing that we miss when we do these deep inhales or deep breathing techniques is that full exhale and full release. Just a letting go of the life force of air. Just let it all go and hold that for a four count. And so we practice breath work, and you get to dive within yourself within the breath and Excuse me. Breath is a key within the storytelling process. So if you notice me take a deep breath, you might be tuned right into me and be taking a deep breath at that same time. But if you're not, just pay attention and allow us to dance. So let's dive on in. All right, so 2015 is when let's see. It was my introduction to Medicine for the People, spring of 2015. And Medicine for the People spiritual gathering is something that my buddy Guy Brown out of Houston, Texas, put together because he wanted to throw, like, just have his hippie friends over and do some hippie stuff. And so it grew to now being around, I mean, at least 600, 700 strong that gather on the equinox and the solstice twice a year, right? To come together and just offer our medicine, the stories, the techniques, the modalities that have helped our us, and you know, whether it's like Kundalini yoga, acro yoga, music, dance, Reiki, quantum mechanic, you know, all kinds of ways, even, you know, in the form of art, like jewelry making and oils and, you know, all the things that we get to bring. So this has really been a grassroots movement, and I'm in completely indebted to Guy Brown and what he has offered as a palatable experience. And palatable meaning your soul is nourished in a way that has texture to it, that has all kinds of flavor and nuances, that is the spice of life. And it's what many, I wouldn't say all, are looking for and what your heart is yearning for. So Medicine for the People has been a huge experience for me, my family, and many others, right? And so this first experience, we packed up all of the children, and they were, man, how old were the twins? Hold on, let me take a little sip of my café au lait. Let's see. The twins must have been, oh wow, I can't even remember. Let's see, 2015. I can actually look at the dates. Let me break this down real quick. 2015, and they're 17 now. This is 7, 8 years ago. Nine? Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Eight, nine, right around there. They had just had their birthday, a little bit before. Yep. Okay, we're getting it. So the twins of that means the Sadie and Javi are just a few years younger. Autumn is like 2.5, and Violet Ray is not in the scene yet. And we pack up our minivan, a Mazda MPV, the most valuable player of all vans, of all minivans. I wouldn't say of all vans, because there's some workhorse vans out there, and this Mazda MPV was our van. It was our blue lightning. I don't think we called it that. What did we? I don't remember what we called it. But anyway, we hopped in the van and drove 5 hours north of Houston in, I believe, Tyler, Texas. But that was we which made our way to the Cowhutta. Man, I can't remember the Native American. It was an Indian reservation that Guy Brown had access to by that time. In the beginning, it was just like little parks in Houston and different places and stuff like that. And let's see, that must have been end of 2010 or right around 2010 and 11 is when he started doing these. So he's a few years in by this time in 2015. And so it must have been at least 100 to 200, maybe. I don't know. It's really hard for me to gauge how many people when they're not all gathered in one place, but at least 100 showed up, and There was, I think there was a small teepee, and we were all camping, pine cones everywhere. And there was a stage in Katsuk, 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 Katsuk was playing. They were one of the musical entertainers, and he played something that he said he was inspired by the woods when he was driving in. And so it was just kind of this beautiful, melody that he had created the day before or something. So, and then there was yoga in the morning, and there was the communal kitchen, and we were just donated by our neighbor a bunch of food because he worked at the church in the pantry. In his church's pantry. And so it was all these beautiful synchronicities that were happening. This was our first family outing and camping, and it was, I mean, we kind of sat back and didn't really intermingle with a lot of different people, and we just watched, and I paid attention to just the people and what was going on. And it was a beautiful experience for me to have with my family, and for one of the twins to just say, "Hey, I'm gonna go help with the with washing dishes." Not even just ours. It was a communal kitchen, so there were dishes that everybody would help in washing. And he just wanted to help. And so that was like, oh man, we didn't even ask him. Like, it was just a thing that, me and his mom were looking at and experiencing, and it was really cool to see like a tribe come together. And that was our first dose of where we're going and what this, has grown to, beyond, right? Where we're going with building our own heaven on earth. And the experiences and the trials and the tribulations, and Guy Brown, being 11 plus years now, he has stories that have different perspectives. That if everyone comes out and tell their stories about these different experiences, then we get to have a living library of what we have done, what can be done, what the opportunities are. So, that was a lot of fun. So after that, with so much in between, and we'll dissect everything as we go and get further into these podcasts and new series and stuff. But for right now, we're going to fast forward to 2017 with taking it up a notch from Medicine for the People, which was more of a spiritual gathering, to Art Outside, which was more of an art gathering with spiritual aspects, and being really more hon dialed into the Austin crowd and being a larger event. And for the anyone that's gone, that had been to the, I think there was maybe at least 10 years that they had been doing these, because Art Austin has like this really cool art collective, and Art Outside was something that Amber and I had been hearing about and seen videos, and was just like, man, it's right up the road from us. This is going to be, I think we tried to go in 2016 and just, we didn't manifest the tickets. And by 2017, we're like, all right, we're going this time. Like, we put the money down ahead of time, blah, 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 all this stuff. And we set aside babysitters. And oh, yeah, I think that's also because Autumn was still young, and I think we were comfortable with, yeah, that's what it was. It was because we didn't feel comfortable leaving her overnight with anyone. And so by 2017, we were, she was better staying the night with babysitters and family and stuff. And so Amber and I drove in to a larger gathering that was, more, I wouldn't say it was just more organized. It was different, but it was organized with a volunteer staff and an entry point, and people standing by with canopies to direct you, and all the cars in where you would do the car camping. Let's say you had a total of maybe 10 feet, like your car, its width plus some extra feet. and then behind it in order to put your tent and stuff like that. So this is what, and it was rows. And so I think they said there was anywhere from like 1,000 to 1,500 people at this event. And it was more like our first rave, and there were a bunch of young people, and everybody was dressed in their like rave clothes and hippie clothes, and we were still new to this. I'm just like in basketball shorts. I'm sorry, brain fart. But I was just in basketball shorts and just regular, just hanging out. I wasn't. I now I have my own attire that is like my hippie stuff, and it's I'm more comfortable in it. Like it's more part of my wardrobe, especially like in the summer times and spring and fall. Like I'm wearing this stuff all the time, harem pants, and really comfortable stuff. So anyway, we're walking around art outside, and it's just Amber and I. We wind up, well, it was our escape. So we wanted to go and just have fun in our tent and, make love and experience art and hang out with our Austin tribe, which was in the still in the beginning phases of where it is now. For me personally, all of this at this time, and from Amber's perspective, and she'll have to clarify herself, but from what she has told me, she's a complete outsider to all of this, and she's just following me along. And so this is basically my thing, and I'm just showing her stuff, right, on like a spiritual level, and our relationship. This isn't her friends, and this isn't her stuff. This is my stuff, and I'm showing her. And so we got to experience just the most beautiful art, fire spinning, and people on stilts as like a circus act, and they're just walking around entertaining people and blowing bubbles, and there's stage for yoga in the afternoons and mornings, and workshops to teach you how to play the didgeridoo, and sacred geometry or sacred G breath, which isn't geometry, it's gamma. The G is for gamma, by my buddy Charles. And now we're friend, like he was just one of the, like a lot of the people that were leading these workshops that I attended or saw that they were leading, and I didn't attend everything. They're now like really close friends and colleagues that I'm able to, like Jenna Hasso. She is an amazing community leader and has done some amazing stuff in Austin and Corpus, and I'm gonna get her involved more with where this is all going, why I want to go really quickly from 2015 to 2020, and then we're gonna go from 2020 and get us caught up. So by this is episode 5, so 6 we'll get through that, and episode 7 that we should be ready with the here and the now, and because this is the 7th year. So anyway, let's see. Art outside was amazing, and we got to dance, and I was already like kind of in the scene via my soul brother Jeremy Yaws. If you remember the other episodes, he is now like my guy. Like we're every time he comes into town, I go see him, and I go into town. Like we're always just we see each other. We're always talking, and he's helping me with my stuff, and we're just living in two different cities, but brother from another mother. So when we go, he's our play, and he usually is. If I'm not vending, like the Oregon Vortex booth is my second home, and we get to leave our stuff there, and like, yo, we're gonna leave our shit here, and so a place to go hang out and have like a home base away from our tent. So and then through Jeremy, we're introduced to a lot of different people in the whole Austin community and all the different things and like in like, hey, come check out this area. This is where they're doing the sacred light. What is it called? Isotrop? No, I forgot what it's called. But like the hypnagogic, I think, is the light, the Lucia light, I believe. And so anyway, like to all the different people and getting in and getting to know like the DJs and behind the scenes, other people, like, because he's been in it for so long as a vendor and a performer and a DJ and in the scene. And so, he was a big, has always been a big access point for me, to meet my soul tribe. And so I love that about our relationship. And so anyway, Art Outside was absolutely amazing. And Saturday night, Amber and I decide to take our psychedelics. So we take like a couple hits of LSD, and we're tripping with the tribe, and we're underneath the pyramid that Jeremy Yaws has built for Orgone Vortex, and it's an organite copper pyramid that has lights streaming up and down it, and it has a spinning organite pyramid that's upside down facing in the center of the pyramid, and we're all hanging out underneath it in the pyramid. And I mean, we get into like some really good conversations and just kind of like all seeing each other and experiencing bliss and having a blast. And the lights just like boom on at 11:11, and so it's just crazy, like all the synchronicities and what we were doing with just having experiences. We saw, man, I forget the name of it's a performance act that has a Tesla tower that, and there's like a cage next to it and music, and they send the electricity across it with music and everything, and it's so cool. So we got to see that, and Happy Happy James and Symbiotic, and just it was such a wonderful experience. And that Saturday night, when Amber and I were winding down and wanted to go and roll in bliss with ourselves before, I mean, I think there was, yeah, that's right. We usually escape. So as I said this probably before in my other podcasts and the stories, we take off and we go make love, and then we'll come back out. Like, hey, what's up, everyone? Like, yeah, we're fucking energized. Well, I am. She's ready to pass out. And so we went in and hopped in the, we want, it was hot, so we wanted to have air conditioning. So I turned the car on, and we were in the back seat. We had limo tent in the Honda. And at one point, we were really getting into it. And there were people just hanging out on the back of the car, just having conversation, not knowing that there's a couple right next to them making love. And we can hear all that they're saying. And I mean, we can hear the music from the stage in the background, and you can hear other people that brought like little mini parties out in the camping area. And like, it was really, really cool. And then we took off into the tent to finish it out, to finish ourselves out. And then at one point, someone turned on their headlights. And it was coming right into our tent, and you could see my silhouette. But I and someone was like, some girl's like, oh my God. And then she goes, the lights. And so I don't know if she like saw the silhouette of Amber and I and TMI, but we were doggy style, so there's no confusing as to what was happening. And I mean, it was just, it was sexy. It was fun. It was just a whole lot of things. And so just leaving, I was like a child. I was like, bye, Art Outside. Honk, honk, like, love y'all. I don't never want to leave. And it's just this experience that happens pretty much every time I go to a transformational festival. And so that was the art outside experience, and left me wanting more and more. So not too long after that, a few months later, we were set to go on a cruise to the Mayan ruins, Chichen Itza, and down to Cozumel, or I can't remember exactly where we went, but Amber and I we're back and forth from fighting, from other experiences that we were just on the verge of not making it. And on the drive to where did we leave? Was it Corpus? No, Galveston, I believe. Yeah, I think, was it? Yeah, the Galveston is the exit point. So on the way to Galveston, like, she's telling me how, hey, I don't want to be with you anymore. And I had been saying that before. And now when she said it, I was like, no, I don't, like, I'm not, what the fuck? Like, I thought we had, and so we were just back and forth. And I wanted for us to make, we were on our way to a cruise for us to go. And I was thinking about possibly proposing. I was getting a ring made, and I don't know. It was just we were so back and forth on what we wanted for ourselves and for each other. And honestly, that's like the bulk of our relationship. And we decided to like just have a good time on the cruise and not think about, what are we doing after this? Like, we don't have the children again, and this is for the longest amount of time, for 5 days, and we just want to enjoy ourselves. And so we hopped on the cruise, and we did. We had an amazing time. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. Like, there were synchronicities, and we got to relax and just eat, and like, as the food's all free, pretty much. And oh yeah, that's right. Amber's mom and stepdad were on the cruise also, so they were kind of tagging along every once in a while, having dinner, whatever. But Amber and I were pretty much by ourselves the whole time. And like, that's just a whole thing to be able to do, is to like make love on a big ass boat while you're going across the Gulf Coast, and then go into the jungles of Guatemala and visit places that you may or may have not walked around at as your ancient past life self, when the places definitely looked different. And hearing this story, when you go from a cruise, like, you get shuttled over there, you're put in with the tour guide, and you're kind of like hustled along everywhere as he's telling a story. And so you got to pay attention to what's around you and what he's telling you, because those stories are pretty freaking good. Like, the seven gods from above would compete against the seven gods from below in this ball game. And the ones that would win, the captain would have to sacrifice themselves. The loser would have to sacrifice, the captain would have to sacrifice himself in order to, maintain good harvest and everything for the next 7 years or something. It was like all this stuff that I'm like listening to. I'm like, holy shit, what's this? Seven, all sevens. And we're in the seventh largest city in San Antonio, and I was born in 77, and there's just like sevens is everywhere. So Chichen Itza is, I mean, the temple of the warriors. There's like a stone in the ground that I did like this activation thing. I've got some really cool pictures, or Amber took some really cool pictures of what I did on that thing, facing the warrior of the temple of the warriors, and walking around there barefoot. And just remembering, and then hopping on the boat, Or actually jumping into the cenotes, like we jumped into, oh, which is the name of, I forget the name of it, but one of the cenotes there in Guatemala. And that was just another magical experience, just hop in these waters that I know I've jumped into before. And so this was February of 2018. And 2018 just so happens to be a very huge year for things to come to light. So after that trip, Amber and I decide to stick it out, and we come back, and everything seems, we're managing. I don't remember how every day was. Obviously ups and downs, and we're still here today, 2023. And on 8/18/2018, Amber had her awakening experience, and she can get more into details from her perspective on what she experienced. But that night was her and I choosing psilocybin mushrooms, a strain of mushrooms called Penis Envy, to partake in. And holy moly, they sent us on a whirlwind of spiraling Fibonacci spirals into ourselves and seeing how you can feel what a inward spiral finite system feels like. That we felt that on a visceral level. I mean, I don't think I've ever described it that way, but that's more or less what it was. As we were, getting to the peaks of it, we just started getting this like worried sensation that we need to go get the kids. Yeah, something's about to happen. Something's coming, and this shit ain't right. Like, yeah, no, this ain't right. Hey, how do you feel? No, I'm not feeling too good. we're both in this like spiraling thing, and I would look over at her, and even I felt to my own self like we were literally spiraling from our head going down to touching our chin, touching our chest, and then wanting to go further and further into a freaking spiral like a snail. And it was in a sense like the more you allowed yourself to dive into all of the thoughts and emotions of being human, raising your children and being a child and your parents and your brothers and your sisters and your life and just death and everything, you start to like, wow, what a good life. Okay. And something inside of you is saying, okay, well, go ahead and let it all go. Go ahead and just let it all go. Yeah, it was all good job. Good job. You did it. You experienced life. You can let it go right now. Let it all go. And the more you let it go and start saying bye to those things, I was letting out, tears, and I was spiraling in. I could feel myself literally. I'm like, what the heck? And so I would, in order to get out of it, I would straighten my spine up. I would sit up straight, and I would, that was kind of the thing. But the more you sit in with some psilocybin mushrooms, you can find yourself spiraling back down again. And that's what was happening. We both had this distressing, feeling. And after a little while, I mean, Amber at this time was even vomiting. She was purging. And that was the other distressing thing, is that she just was not feeling good. I mean, I wasn't feeling nauseous. I just was, I don't even want to call it emotionally. It was more than emotions. It was some kind of real pull on my soul. And so at one point I'm like, hey, we got to go outside. Let's go ground. Take your socks, your shoes off. Let's go put them on the bare earth, and let's sit up straight, and let's talk about some good stuff. And, we went out there, we did that, and it was like, all right, cool. Feeling better? Yeah, I'm feeling better. You're feeling better? Okay, good. And it wasn't 2 minutes, and we're like, I look over and she's spiraling back down, and me too, and I'm like, oh shit, dude, hey, you can't, and like, no, it's not, it didn't go away. And before we go back inside, I remember, or I just get this feeling of like, hold up, who am I? No, hold on a second, I was born 11/22/77 at 11 p.m. on the dot. I had my awakening at the age of 33. I discovered all these different things, and I know a lot of stuff, and we helped the school do this, and blah blah blah. Like, nah, I've done enough. I know that I'm fucking infinite. I know this and that. And I'm like, hold on, you, and well, oh yeah, we came into the bedroom, and I said, nah, this is about you. This is your thing. Like, you're holding on to some stuff, and we both know it. We talk about every time we go through these journeys and experiences. And you know, just when we get into deep conversations, is you know, and mind you, at this time, or when Amber and I got together, she was only 21 years old. She had the twins at the age of 15. She there's things, right? And I mean, I didn't have my daughter till I was 30 years old. Went through all my stuff, never hold grudges, and you know, always saw that everything served its purpose, and know how to, like, not say I'm perfect, but there's just things that I have done that we were definitely like going through together, and I was assisting her, and so I was guided to step into my power and remind her of how amazing she is and how she is. I mean, if everything come to light and what we've done thus far, and what she, I mean, especially now, at that time I was sitting in my power. At this time I'm like, no, you cannot tell me that I'm not connected directly to source, and that this ain't a thing that we're doing. We're bringing the second coming of Christ consciousness into this plane of existence. And when I'm done with this story on this podcast, and we go on to, I get you caught up, and I tell you what we're about to do, like, you will know. Like, I'm not joking around. This is a real thing. So anyway, 8/18/2018, Amber is now feeling her higher selves and her angelic guides and just everything crying on her, and appreciating the work that she's done, and she they know that it's not easy, and they and you know, she's doing amazing, and she's worthy, and she's enough, and she always has been, and not to, like, you know, just all the feelings, right? And before you know it, she's literally like, you know, when they make you hug yourself, like really hug yourself. She's doing that and crying and feeling it, and she's not a very emotional person. It's difficult to get her to get into her feels like that. And so, you know, after she sat with that for a minute, she, you know, was standing in front of me. I said, "Come here now, let me give you a hug." And immediately we were like, "Whoa, okay, now I'm feeling better, feeling a little frisky, you ready to get it on?" And you know, we made passionate love, and you know, didn't look back. And so, you know, that was Amber's awakening at 8/18/18. And you know, it wasn't too long before that that I actually had my own DMT, or you know, because mushrooms is pretty much like dimethyltryptamine, especially some penis-envy mushrooms. You can breathe out sacred geometry. DMT in its smokable form is just like, I mean, definitely different in you're shot out like a cannon out of your physical suit. And so I had my own experience a little bit before that that led me to some realizations and having like some real stuff go on. And you know what? I'm gonna save that for another time. So you're just gonna have to tune in, and that will be its own independent story. And so if we move forward a little bit, an opportunity arose not too long after this 8/18/18 date. And this was right in October of 2018. My really good friend who I used to work with at Boston's Gourmet Pizza who was, you know, he was into the spiritual stuff before I was. And after I had my awakening, I'm like, you son of a bitch, you knew and you didn't even try to tell me anything. And after that, he was like, oh, yeah, dude, I was just, you know, and, you know, when I jumped in, it was like, boom, it was a lot of things, really big stuff. And, you know, he was and it just kind of like, I don't want to say it over. It was just a lot of different information. My shit was getting real meta, real big. So we communicated and kept in contact. And by the time that he reaches out to me, because he even interviewed me, he was actually going around the country and down into, I believe, Canada and Mexico a little bit to learn off-grid communities and earthship, like just all kinds of things, permaculture, you name it. This guy was all the stuff about how to get off of the tit of the government and what that would look like if we tried to be a thriving entity or community. And so he was living it and discovering himself through it. So I was witnessing that, and he was interviewing certain people, and he was back in Texas and in San Antonio for a little bit, and came through and interviewed me. And by that time, I was already obviously doing the work with the school and had some other big ideas and things that I was working on. And so we had not communicated in like, I guess, a year and a half or whatever. And when he reached out to me, he was like, hey, I am into crystals and gems, and I've got a lot of inventory with all these different things. And I'm going to be coming through San Antonio. I can unload a good amount with you, and you can just pay me as you go. We can make this a business deal. And then as you sell them, I can provide more, restock you. And I was like, wow, okay, nice, because I just got laid off from Viva H2O, the alkaline water store, and excuse me, and was in the serving and service industry and restaurant and bar, and it was just like not what I was wanting to do. And I was just about done with training, and he said, I'll be there next week. And we'll go through everything then. But before I let you go, I think you should look into these Sintamani stones. They are changing people's lives. They're written into myth, lore, and legend. And I got a bunch on me, and I'm going to be bringing some of those. And, you know, they do really well and blah, blah, blah. And you should look it up before I go. So I did. And that night I was like, whoa, this is freaking, this is amazing. Like, that's crazy. This is just nuts. This is, I think they're calling this the Philosopher's Stone and all these different things. Hitler tried to get the stone. Nicholas Roerich, this visionary artist, was painting about and doing all these things with it. And Genghis Khan supposedly had a this Sintamani stone, and King Solomon, and Jesus is connected to it, and like all these different things. I'm just like, wow, okay, this is some crazy stuff. Excuse me. Let me take another drink of water. All right, so bring that a little bit. So this Sintamani stone is just got my attention, and one of the things that was in the information that I was finding on YouTube was with Nicholas Roerich and how he created this banner of peace, which is three red circles, like one on top of the two, you know, like a pyramid, and how they just had like this multidimensional meaning, like each red circle like means something. I think it was like science, culture, and arts, and then it was surrounded by a ring, and it was all red, and it was supposed to be encircled by the ring of humanity, and the blood red is what binds us, something like that. And so I'm like, okay, wow, cool. I soaked that in, and then The next day, I show up to the Circle School off of Broadway, across the street from the Whitty Museum here in San Antonio. And the reason I was going there was to drop off a moringa tree, a Moringa oleifera, which is also named or called the miracle tree. And the reason I'm dropping it off is because I was, part of my idea with the gardens and stuff like that with the schools was to grow these moringa trees, these miracle trees, and donate them to schools and, get them talking about gardens and then lead them to my buddy Stephen Lucky with Gardopia Gardens, who he can go in there and build a garden for him. I show up to the Circle School, and right in front of the, like on the, in the front yard of the Circle School is that banner of peace on three metal signs, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, why? Like, that's crazy. And I go and I'm like, hey, what are y'all, what are those, this, what is this school all about? And they're like, oh, we're based off the teachings of Nicholas Roerich. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm like, well, do you know about the Sentimani Stone? They're like, nope, we don't know what that is, but he's this and that. And we have a circle time in the morning where we sing and tell a song or a story and like we meditate and we have a garden program and the children are free here to like, and I'm like, what the heck? Like, this is an amazing, different type of environment for children to thrive in. And I'm like, wow, okay. So drop off the miracle tree at the Circle School, and I'm on my way. And the day that I went was Halloween of 2018. That was a Wednesday, so you can look it up all yourself. That's the day I went to the Circle School and dropped off a miracle tree. And after that, we had and actually, what you mean, rewind, when Eric came to the house, well, actually, okay, so let me put it this way. Eric called me up, hey, check it out, Halloween. I go the next day, drop off the miracle tree at the Circle School. And then he shows up at the house within a week with the stones and all the stuff, and I'm like, holy moly, this is dope. Like, now I can go and like set up my own vending table. And two people reached out to me. Hey, I got a free spot this Friday. You can come, you can vend, make some money. And then the other one was like, hey, it just costs this much, and you can come and make some money down in Corpus. And I made over $800 between both of the events. And I sold a lot of stuff that Eric came and dropped off to me, crystal wands, pendants, like stuff I undersold. And I just was able to make some money. And I quit the restaurant, gig that I was just about done with training, said, sorry, I'm done. I'm doing this now. And I never looked back. And so I haven't worked for anyone else since, other than helping my friend Don and I don't even know, like other little things I had done, just like make some money here and there, but never like have I had to go out and get a job for someone else. And so that's what transpired with that. Now the Circle School. And then when Eric came to the house with the stones, he said, hey, well, actually what I told him was, hey, I'm about to do this thing on 11/11. We're gonna stand on the outside. It is something I was guided to by my soul brother Rion from Team Light, Unite the Collective on YouTube. And I'm trying to find the video, so I'll find it. But he said, hey, just a little bit of advice. Anyone want to grid your territory or your city, gather your homies, you don't even need any crystals, go stand on the edges of the city, look inward and picture this and imprint it, this in the quantum field with your imagination, whatever. And so I'm telling Eric about this, and he's like, oh, dude, these Sentimani stones are actually, they're supposed to be gridded around the planet. And I mean, if you are going to do that, then I'll go ahead and gift you what you need for the whole mission. And I'm not even going to charge you. Because he gave me like a whole pile of Sentimani stones ranging from a couple grams to up to like, I think, six, seven. I think mine is like an 11 grammer or whatever, 11 grammer. But anyway, so he does that, and I'm like, dude, this is dope. So we used the stones to grid the city on 11/11/2018 at 11:11 a.m. And so I handpicked my people, and just these were people that I saw that exuded like balance. They were in it. I felt some kind of connection to them. And so we buried, so this is what we did. Right before we went out there, I picked the song Desert Dwellers, and I was guided to like, hey, we're going to spin the energy and kind of like corkscrew it into the planet for, you know, the first couple minutes of the song. And then after that, we're going to look up into the sky and we're going to send our energy into a corkscrew into the sky. And we're going to connect into that. And then for the next couple minutes, we're going to like look into the middle of the two top, you know, Gaia and Father Sky. And we're going to look into this plane of existence and see, you know, happy, healthy, wealthy, and well human beings, not working for a living, but creating art and living for a living and food, fruit trees, you know, the schools are different. Everything is just, you know, the way, it has an opportunity to be. And, so that's what we did. And when we gathered on top of the parking garage, I reiterated the instructions to everyone. And, the song that I chose was by Desert Dwellers, called Dragon's Mist. And it was remixed by Kaminanda, another DJ. He called it Remist. And, that's the one I picked. And told everyone at 11:11, when we get to our spots, you're going to press play. So we're all in sync with the song at the same time. And, so after I gave him all the information and, you know, we did our little ohm on the top of a parking garage right downtown. We met at like 10 something in the morning. I didn't even realize that the parking, we were only supposed to meet there and get out. So within 30 minutes before, it used to be free. And now they're like, nah, you come in, you're paying $20. And I'm like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? So others were like, dude, I don't even have the money to pay for this. And I'm like, what? And so it cost me like $60 to get this mission. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know you pay for your community service, spiritual community service. But here we go. Mission needs to be done. So I paid for some of the people to get up to the top of the parking garage and do our thing. And, you know, right at the time that everybody needed to leave, there was like this thunder that just came through the sky. It was mist. And mind you, it was misting that day. Like Dragon's Mist. I picked the song out like weeks before. And so it was just like, it was crazy. A lot of synchronicities, little things, little magic that was happening here and there. And so, you know, Dragon's Mist, thunder happens. I saw no lightning, so it was my cue. And I was like, all right, that must mean ready, break. Everybody go get to your spots. Me and these guys, we're going to stay here and hold it down in the center. And so what I was guided to have everybody position was 6 miles out from the center of San Antonio, north, south, east, and west. And they just so happened to be in spots that I was able to get access to. And not just like someone's backyard. Like it was crazy. I'll show y'all later. Like, go check out my other stuff. I'm going to put it all together on the website and everything's coming together. So, yeah, at this time you want to make sure that, you go ahead and follow me on all social media, sign up for the email newsletter and, follow along for what we're going to be doing. You'll know why I'm trying to get through these 5 years in this podcast. So, let's see. So we had the song picked, the places kind of just all synced up and everybody got to their spots right at 11:11. So that ready, set, go was perfectly timed. They got to their spots. We pressed play. We spun the energy. I was in the center with two others that I was like spinning everyone like tops. And when we were done, that's when me and the other two decided to go find a spot downtown that we could bury our stone. Cause I didn't pick that out. I just picked the the space. I figured I would find a spot. And I was thinking, I was like, wow, a lot of these places, they get turned over, like where they have little, grassy areas, not grassy areas, but like bushes and stuff. After a little while, they come through and the landscaping people rip all that stuff out and put new, whatever they put down. But every few years, you can expect all that stuff to get fucked with in some way or another. And so we had to look more for like a park that the grounds really wouldn't be messed with so much. And I look ahead and there was just so happened to be this freaking pyramid of acorns. Like, not acorns. Yeah, acorns. Were they like apricot seeds or some shit? I don't know. It was something. But, and it wasn't like a big pyramid. So we were able to like move it over a little bit and bury the Sentimani stone like right underneath it. Not deep, but just like enough where it was embedded in the ground. And like that, just all the synchronicities, everything. And so what that did, we're still seeing the repercussions of it. And, that was 11/11/2018. And within a year, some other things transpired to show exactly what we did. And you know what? Honestly, right now, I'm going to leave it right there. And we're going to have to catch up with the next 2 years, because there's so much the detail that goes into this stuff that I want everyone to know. So I'm going to end it with, we gridded San Antonio on 11/11/2018 with desert dwellers. 6 miles out from downtown, we buried the stones, and then we're gonna go in for the next episode, like December 21st, 2018. Guatemala was gridded, Tikal, with Mayan elders. So stay tuned for the next episode. I think you're gonna like that, and then we'll go into the worldwide shift in 2020, and then the CE5 meditation of 7/14/2020. So with that, I want y'all, I know I'm ending this kind of abrupt, but make sure y'all go follow me at all the different places and just tune in. I love y'all. I want y'all to love always, in all ways. Peace.